response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Go Birds! What's going on, everybody? And good morning. Today is Monday, July 6th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And I hope you all had a glorious weekend. Hope you enjoyed it. July 4th, 250th year celebration. Taylor and Travis getting married. A lot was going on, but nothing really happened with the Eagles as they remain, I think if you were to ask them, like very positively, very happily under the radar as things around them happen. Big USA game tonight. Hopefully they beat Belgium. We'll be exciting to talk about that tomorrow. And if you're listening to this before 10 a.m., I'm on the morning show. Go check out WIP, me, James Seltzer, and we let Joe DeCamera come hang out with us, the Hammer, on there as well. So why I'm in the morning show this morning, so if you're listening to this, maybe press pause, go check out the morning show, and then take this back later today, because we got a fun pod today. Not super newsy. Again, nothing really is happening, but I was trying to think of like different things to do, and I decided on today's pod, what we're going to do is I'm going to go back and look at the most exciting non-playoff wins, because obviously if we were going to do exciting wins, it would be like the Super Bowl in 2017, the Super Bowl in 2024, right? Like, we're going to remove playoffs from this. We're just going to talk about, like, you know, the double doink game, right? We are just going to talk about regular season, big time wins, the biggest that I've covered during my time covering the team. And, you know, to do this, I kind of had to decide when I started covering the team. And while I was there for the dream team in the way that I was at training camp, I didn't really start covering the team like full time until 2013. So in 2013, I remember I was there at the end of 2012 when Andy was getting fired. I think one of my first games I covered was like right after Todd Bowles took over, maybe. I remember getting a press pass for one of those and covering the game for the first time, sitting all the way at the end where all the new guys sit. Now I'm all the way to the other side, you know, slowly worked my way up there. But going to talk about the biggest wins during my time covering the team. So we're going to start in 2013. And what was funny is, so, you know, spoiler, we're going to do the pod tomorrow about the biggest losses, right? And when I went through the biggest losses, I came away with 9 of them. And I was like, oh, 9's a good number. I'll do the 9 biggest wins. Well, when I went through it, I felt bad leaving some off. So I got 19, the 19 biggest wins in my time covering the Eagles. And again, that's not even including playoffs. So if you're sad to be at work today, if you're looking to kill time, good news. We're going to take a deep dive into some big Eagles wins. So we're going to start in 2013, week one, 33-27, the first Chip Kelly game, the win over Washington. And, you know, it's funny. This was a cool part about coming back and looking at these games is you remember it one way and then you look at it and there were details that were like slightly different. Like I remember being in the press box for that game. And again, it was one of my, I think it was probably my first away game I ever covered. And so I'm at the game in Washington and it's like, I remember the just hysteria in the press box of like, look at this offense, look how fast they're going, blah, blah, blah. Like I remember the Eagles dominating that game from the jump, scoring a ton of points. And it was like, it was nothing. Then you go and you look back and I completely forgot that the game started on a 74-yard touchdown return by D'Angelo Hall on a fumble. Now that I remembered it, you know, you think about, I think it was a backwards pass that was ruled a fumble. D'Angelo Hall picks it up. There's like some confusion as to what's going on. It ends up counting. So the Chip Kelly era starts with a turnover on the first drive of the game. Returned 74 yards for a touchdown. But then also at the end of the first, it was 12-7. Like I remember this a little bit like the Washington game that Vic had where he had like five touchdowns in the first half or whatever it was, the first play, the deep pass to Deshaun. Like I remembered it that way in my head, but you go back and you look at it and it was very different. So it's 12-7 at the end of the first half. But then Celek and Vic absolutely light it up in the second half. Vic runs one in. Vic finds Celek for a touchdown. LeSean McCoy runs one in. And the Eagles are winning 26-7 at half. And you go back and you look at that. While it was a slow start, the memory of it being wild is still correct. 443 total yards for the Eagles in that game. Now, Washington, I think, had over 300 yards. So Washington moved the ball, you know, well, and they obviously it ends up being a one-score game at the end. But the Eagles play 80 snaps on offense. I don't think they ever played that many snaps again. They certainly don't do it these days. You know, didn't work out with Chip Kelly. Obviously, we have a few more Chip games here to talk about, but that game is definitely like, I can still vividly feel the emotion I felt watching that game in the press box. And like, I can vividly remember the vision of like, just people, like the noise in the press box and how crazy it was. Like it was a moment. It certainly was. So, you know, one of the biggest wins definitely I covered was that one over Washington. Another Chip game, the Snowball game. 34-20, the Snowball game. When I think back to this game, like the vivid memory I have is, and this is funny because we never do this. So it must have been because it was snowing. So me and Jimmy Kemsky walked from the press box upstairs, downstairs then, to out like right where the players come out, the tunnel. And in the time we went from it being upstairs to downstairs, it started to snow. And I remember I got a really cool picture of Howard Eskin. I remember sending it actually to Spike, and I didn't know Spike super well at that time. I was still pretty young. Sending it to him, be like, look at this cool picture I got of your dad. And then we go upstairs and you can barely see out of the press box. Like it is almost completely covered in snow. You look up at the TV, it was crazy. So like the memory I have like visually of that game is like kind of like not pure white snow for some reason. I remember it almost like hazy snow. Like you can't really see everything. The players kind of looked like they were blacked out because there was snow everywhere. And I also had forgot just how low scoring it was initially because they end up winning 34-20. Only 8 points are scored in the first half. The Eagles are actually down 14-0. I forgot the Lions really, really moved the ball the rest of the way. The Lions end up with 478 yards on offense, including a 98-yard kick return. Obviously, the iconic image from that game, LeSean McCoy running for those two long touchdowns, the picture of him jumping in the snow, which actually Merrill Reese has a huge one of over his fireplace. So think of all the cool things Merrill's experienced. The fact that he has that image over it is awesome. Chris Polk, remember Chris Polk? Chris Polk has a 38-yard touchdown run. The image from the Sports Illustrated cover, you know, the image of just the players in the snow, like you can see the kind of miserable look on their face. But look, even as someone that's Team Dome, that was obviously an unbelievable game. Five touchdowns scored in the fourth when things kind of started to clear up a little bit. So I don't think I'll ever cover a game. Obviously, the snow win in the playoffs with Saquon clearly up there as an all-time moment. But in terms of that level of impact to snow, I don't think I'll ever cover a game that has that impact. So I'm really, really happy. Like when I think about the games I got to cover, this is definitely high up there with the Super Bowl and such. And for, you know, I'd assume everybody listening, just a really cool game that we all got to experience together. So yeah, 2013, 34-20 win over the Detroit Lions. Now we go to next season, 2014. I remember being in the press box. I think it was the first Thanksgiving game I covered. 33-10 win over Dallas. Now, this is with Mark Sanchez. It's Chip Kelly. The win moved them to 9-3, I believe. And what I remember about it, well, so first of all, they just demolish them. They're up 23-7 at halftime. It's 30-10 going in the fourth. Mark Sanchez, I went back, obviously looked in the box score, 20 of 29 for 217 yards. So a very efficient day from Mark Sanchez. LeSean McCoy, I remember the image of him like biting the turkey leg on the field, 159 yards on 25 carries. And the vivid memory I have from this one is being in the press box after the game. This is when I still worked for NJ.com and talking to Mark Eckel, who I covered the team with at the time. And we're both just like, they're legit. They're going to the Super Bowl. Like the NFC, I guess I remember not being that good. Clearly, one of my first takes that aged horribly. They end up losing the next three. They miss the playoffs at 10-6, which is pretty crazy. Like for as bad as Chip ended and as bad as I think people remember the Chip Kelly era, like to miss the playoffs at 10-6 is pretty wild. But yeah, I just remember being in there on Thanksgiving, the specialness around the team. I think the next week, or no, it must have been the week before. Remember they beat the Carolina Panthers at home and Mark Sanchez went to get a cheesesteak at either Pat's or Geno's and he's like eating fries and people are going crazy around him. I mean, Sanchez was a moment. I was a big Sanchez guy. Funny story. He was a big training camp stat guy. I feel like he was a big aware of what the stats were saying. Wish him the best, obviously, over the past 2 years, rough few years for Mark Sanchez. But at the time, just an unbelievable win in Dallas that season. So 2015, not a lot of memorable wins from that season. Like I can't think of one or two that were special. So we fast forward to 2016. The 34-3 win over the Steelers. That was, to me, the moment where Carson Wentz really arrived. I almost went with week one, the win over the Browns, the touchdown drive on the first drive of the game. He hits Jordan Matthews. They do the handshake celebration. I remember in the locker room after, like, seeing Carson kind of one-on-one and being like, just...
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That was unbelievable. Like that must have been so cool. And he was, you know, obviously very excited. But then they go the next week, they beat the Bears. Everyone's very excited. I remember recording a podcast in the airport at Chicago on a laptop I don't think I had gone through security yet. I was like sitting on a laptop recording a podcast in the Chicago airport. Wasn't a daily pod. That wasn't daily pod life yet. But I think the 34-3 win over the Steelers, when I think back to that season, and I think back to like iconic wins I've covered, that was a pretty big one. Wentz goes 23-31, 301 yards, two touchdowns. I think clearly the most famous play from that game is the Darren Sproles receiving touchdown where Wentz rolls to his right, lofts it to Sproles in stride, keeps going. He makes guys miss. He gets in the end zone. He kind of like points to the Sproles name on his back a bunch. And it moves him to 3-0. And I remember writing, they are a playoff team. They are winning how playoff teams won. They were winning with defense. They were winning with good quarterback play. They could run the ball. And then they go to Detroit, I think it was the next week. They lose. Carson Wentz is picked off by Darius Slay to end the game. And they didn't make the playoffs. So another ESP take that didn't age well. But yeah, that was one of those... They got something in Carson, like how he hit that on that pick. He was unbelievable. I think that season in 2016, even though it ended up not being a playoff season, you know, you think of that clip of Carson and Fletcher Cox at the end of the year on the sideline playing in the game and saying, you know, we're not going to miss the playoffs again. And they didn't. I mean, they made it in 2017, obviously, 2018, 2019, and then it falls apart in 2020. But that was definitely, I think, the game where Carson, it was clear they had something special. So then you go to 2017, and one of the cool parts of doing the pregame show now with WIP, I mean, there's a lot of cool parts, and I guess this makes me old too, is we talk to a lot of former players from that team now. Guys like Torrey Smith, Connor Barwin, Bo Allen, Malcolm Jenkins, Alshon Jeffrey, like a lot of guys from that team have come back and talked on the pregame show, right? And to a man, it feels like the game they bring up the most about when they knew it was special was the Thursday night win over the Panthers. So I remember being there for that game. I think it was the first time I met Kristen's sister, actually. I remember because we were pregame like way pregame. We went and met her somewhere. Funny story, I actually, like, I was first getting to know Kristen, and I guess it'd been almost a year, so I knew her, you know, obviously pretty well. But she was like, "Oh, you know, my sister lives in North Carolina. Like, you can meet her, you know." I'm like, "Oh, I'll get you guys tickets," right? Like, thinking I would have some hookup through WIP or whatever. Or no, I wasn't at WIP at the time, so thinking I would have some type of hookup, and I didn't. And I just bought the tickets and told him I got them for free. So, you know, funny story looking back on that. But I remember meeting Kristen's sister in the basement of like a bar, you know, a few hours before the game, and a song comes on. And I was so sure for some reason it was Jadakiss, but it was The Clips. And I remember vividly this moment of saying the wrong story, and it was the wrong band. It was very embarrassing in retrospect, but things all worked out. But yes, I remember the Panthers Thursday night football, 28-23 win, hard fought win. You go and you look at the box score, very back and forth. One team never really pulled away. Always a one score game until Wentz hits Aguilar to make it 28-16 late. A vivid memory I have from that game is Carson Wentz running into a Panthers defender, a indication at the time that he was always going to be somebody that would run into defenders and not somebody that would like slide. It was, I mean, years of talking about whether or not Carson would slide. He finishes that game 16-30, 222 yards, 3 touchdowns. And like I said, you know, that night, I remember standing on the field after the game in Carolina and thinking, this team has something. And to a man, a lot of the 2017 team will tell you that was a game where they felt they had something special. And clearly they go on to do very, very special things. So the other game from that season that I vividly remember covering is being in New York. And so there's the Carson game where he tears his ACL in LA. I remember walking down the steps through fans to get to the press box or to get to the locker room with all the beat writers. We're all like kind of hopping down the steps, trying to get through fans and getting to the end. And the locker room was so crowded that they didn't let us back. They brought players out. And I remember looking down a hallway, Carson Wentz starts to come out, turns, sees like the horde of media there. And I'll always remember the look in his face of like shock and then him getting kind of carted out and then going to a tent and Nick Foles talking and like just this idea that they could turn it around with Foles was crazy. I remember my editor actually at the time at NJ.com, I wrote something like, "Ah, their season's over." And he was like, "You can't say that. You have no idea." And he was right. He was right in retrospect. But the game I'm going to talk about here is the next one. The 34-29 win over the Giants. So this is the game after Carson tears his ACL. It's the first game with Foles at quarterback. And they get a touchdown in the opening drive, but they fall behind 20-7. And at the time, you're sitting there and you're going, all right, like it's over. Carson's hurt. They're losing 20-7. This is bad. But then Foles hits Ertz for a 10-yard touchdown. Then he hits Trey Burton for a 13-yard touchdown. They're ahead 21-20. The Eagles score 10 in the third. They get a touchdown from Aguilar, from Foles to Aguilar. And then this is what I really remember too, is the game's close. The Eagles in the fourth quarter have a 14-play drive that kills like 8 minutes off the clock. They end it with a field goal. They go up 34-29 and they end up winning the game. And what's funny looking back on that, I didn't remember this, but when you look back at the box score, 4th and 2 from the 2-yard line, they kick the field goal. Like in retrospect now, you think of them as being like so going forward on 4th, and they would definitely go forward on 4th now. So pretty funny they kicked the field goal on 4th and 2. But I think it's such a huge win because if they lose that game, the next week they play the Raiders, they win that one, but they look really bad there. Like confidence was still shaky at that point. So to come away with a win there, I thought was really big. So I definitely remember being at MetLife for that one. So the next season, and the image I have from this game, one of the biggest ones, the night sky in LA. So 2018, the Eagles beat the Rams on Sunday Night Football 30-23. This was one of those games where right the one before it, they had lost in Dallas. Carson hurts his back. They end up, in my opinion, essentially benching Carson because the season's over. They don't want him to get more hurt. And then Foles takes him on a magical run. So it's in LA, right where Carson had injured himself before. And Foles starts, and they look awesome. And what in the memory I have is being in the press box, it was at the Coliseum still, I believe, and just like seeing the ball time after time go through the night sky, like dark blue sky, lights are on, and just throwing it up to Alshon again and again. Because a big talking point, remember, with Carson was him and Alshon never felt like they were on the same page. So in that game, Foles hits Alshon for a 26-yard gain, an 18-yard gain, a 50-yard gain, a 36-yard gain, and he's just as like all game throwing it up to him. They win the game. They're up 30-13 at the end of the third. They end up winning the game by 7, but it was the start of another miraculous comeback. I certainly could have put in there the game at home against the Texans where Foles was unbelievable. One of the best performances in a regular season I've seen from a quarterback. But I just feel like that night, that moment of, wow, they are really going to make a run here. And just Foles clearly always had something special when he had that jersey on, that Eagles jersey. So now we fast forward to 2020. And 2020, well, first there's 2019, my bad. Another win over Washington. And this was the Greg Ward touchdown game. The image of Greg Ward catching it in the corner of the end zone to end the game. Everyone rushing around him. Carson going crazy. That was a year where Carson threw for 4,000 yards without any receiver having like 1,000 yards or something like that. They're down most of the game in that one, 14-10, 21-17, 27-24. This is the game where Wentz had that insane touchdown pass to Miles Sanders. So they get the ball back, 4:52 to play, down 3. They go on an 11-yard, 75-yard touchdown drive to seal the win with that pass to Greg Ward. It really kind of caps off what they were that year. Like, honestly, a combination of like misfit toys at receiver where Carson wasn't outstanding that year. I do think in retrospect, it was probably one of the years Carson enjoyed the most. I remember when they made the playoffs, like thinking to myself and writing a story, like Carson put the demons behind him. He's led him to the playoffs. He's going to play in the playoffs. Like, here we go. And then clearly he gets hurt in the Seattle game and things fall apart. But the Greg Ward touchdown in the corner, Greg Ward, like an all-time feel-good story for the Eagles. Players loved him, and he was just someone that really like made the most out of his ability and a true training camp story, darling guy that made it to an extent. So yeah, I always remember the Greg Ward touchdown in the back corner of the end zone to seal the game. So now we get to 2020, and obviously not a ton of great games from 2020 to remember, but there were two that I think were noteworthy. The first is the win on Sunday Night Football against the 49ers. So clearly this is during COVID time. I didn't travel during COVID time. A few beat writers did. Eventually they stopped because the team was so bad. So I wasn't in San Francisco for this. But the Travis Fulgham touchdown down the sideline, I think, is a very memorable play. So if you remember, they had a bad record going into this. They're 8.5 point the 8.5 point underdogs to the Niners. They score on the first drive of the game, an 11-yard touchdown run from Wentz. But the Niners are up 14-11. And then Wentz hits Fulgham with a 42-yard pass down the left sideline. The next play, I think, of the game, actually, Alex Singleton scores a 30-yard interception, and they score 14 points in 8 seconds to go up 25-14. And it was one of the last moments that year of, okay, maybe there's hope here. Maybe they will be able to turn this around, but clearly they don't. Now, one of the most memorable games definitely is the win over the Saints later that year. 2020, later in the year, Carson gets benched against the Packers. Hurts starts the next game. I remember tweeting out, the Eagles are going to beat the Saints. And everyone was like, oh, clickbait, blah, 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 blah. One of my rare takes that aged well. Hurts first start, the Eagles were 7.5 point favorites. The Saints were 10-3. The Eagles were 4-8-1. Hurts hits Alshon with a 15-yard score to make it 7-0 in the second. Again, Alshon doing better without Wentz. Miles Sanders has an 82-yard rushing touchdown. It's funny, I had forgot Taysom Hill was the starting quarterback for the Saints in that game. It actually was like not bad in that game. Hurts ends up with 106 rushing yards on 18 attempts. He throws for 167 yards. The Eagles rush against the number one run defense for 246 yards. And that was the beginning of the Hurts era. Like, as much as him coming in against Green Bay and throwing the touchdown I think it was Greg Ward, actually, and Jalen Reagor returned to punt in that game. But against the Saints, he like has the hard cut. He runs up the field. That was like a really good indication of why Hurts ended up being a great quarterback. Team was absolutely terrible, comes in and just gives him a spark. And that's one thing I think we never give Hurts enough credit for is that when he came in, he did not walk into a juggernaut situation. He came into a bad situation. And in that game over the Saints, you could see the difference between having Hurts on the field and not having Hurts on the field for this Eagles team. And they win when Hurts is out there. So the win over the Saints, the end of the 2020 season, one of the few good memorable games from 2020. But next, as you know, a new era of Eagles football arrives as Nick Sirianni takes over. And there are a lot of games you could pick from this one, but only I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 more to talk about. So on the other side, the 9 most memorable regular season wins from Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts' time with the team. But first, a word from our sponsors.
The intense July heat is here and Philadelphia humidity is peaking. Don't wait for your energy bills to skyrocket before realizing your windows are failing. Call the pros at Window Nation now. Right now, you can get 50% off all window styles plus zero down payment and no payments or interest for 2 years. Get the energy efficient windows from Window Nation installed in 1 day or less without the hassle. Beat the heat, protect your home, and start saving today. Schedule your fast free consultation now at WindowNation.com.
Ready to experience something new? All Trails helps you find your next hike. Whether you're looking for something nearby or planning a trip, read reviews from real people like you to choose your trail and know what to expect. You can also download the map in case service gets spotty. Plan and experience your next hike with All Trails, the app for exploring the outdoors. Download it today and find your outside.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so we have left the Chip Kelly, Doug Peterson era of my career, and now we're going to talk about the Nick Sirianni era of my time covering the team. And this is frankly probably why I got to 19 wins when you talk about memorable wins for the Eagles, right? You look at the first part of this pod and there are 10 wins from almost 10 years, right, of covering the team. I guess it'd be 10 years and like 10 wins in like 9 years that were like really memorable outside of the playoff ones. Then you get to these last few years, and every year there is like 3-4 wins that I could talk about. And that's what happens when you build a Hall of Fame resume as a head coach and a quarterback. So I'll try to keep this to maybe like some less discussed ones, but it's just hard not to think of the memorable wins here. So 2021, Eagles at Atlanta. First score of the game, touchdown to Devontae. The Eagles go on and beat the Falcons 32-6. A play I always vividly remember from this is where Jalen hit Dallas Goedert for a touchdown, probably from about 12 yards out or so. He's rolling to his right. He throws it across his body, like down to only where Goedert can get it. And just come, you know, Goddard catches it, and they just absolutely smoked the Falcons that day. I remember Nick and Jalen doing their handshake celebration, talking about how it was, you know, it was one he does with his son, and now he does with Jalen or something like that. I did forget Reagor had a 23-yard touchdown in that game to make it 29-6. But Hurts goes in a very impressive 27-35, 264 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 62 rushing yards. No rushing touchdowns, I don't think, in that game. But I remember being in the hotel afterwards, doing the pod with James, and just like the euphoria in his voice and the feeling of hope. Because if you remember in 2020, it was hopeless, right? It was hopeless. And people didn't know what to think of Jalen going into the year, right? Jalen was essentially a rookie quarterback. He was a Wildcat quarterback the first year. And Nick, people weren't excited about the Nick hire. His press conference to start was really bad. And just like to go down and dominate like that, I think was a sign of like big game moments from these guys. Like there was a lot of pressure on them in that Atlanta game. They go down, they win, they go 1-0. Obviously didn't go great from there. They were 2-5 to start the year. They had lost 5 of 6. In Vegas, they got demolished by the Raiders. I remember Kristen was on that trip. I think we went to see Lady Gaga that night. That might have been actually later on trip to Vegas. But regardless, they lose to the Raiders bad. And I had been like really big on Nick and Jalen and the team making the playoffs. I remember actually vividly like saying they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to make the playoffs. And then they're 2-5. They lose to the Raiders. And I am talking to James and I'm like, I'm going to have to say on the pod that I was wrong. And I was like ready to do it. And then they go to Detroit and just demolish the Lions. And that was kind of really where the Nick and Jalen era began. Because as much as that week one game was huge, they're 2-5 there. But when you go to Detroit, you run the ball, you run the Lions into the ground. They're up 38-0 at one point in the fourth. They total 236 rushing yards without a 100-yard rusher. Hurts had 71, Boston Scott had 69, Jordan Howard had 57, Kenny Gainwell 27. And it was when it all clicked for him. That was absolutely when it all clicked for him. They would go on to win the vast majority of their games the rest of the way. I think they did lose to the Chargers after that. But then the week after that, that's when Merrill called the station and said, Elliot's going to make me burst a blood vessel, which is a good drop they still use. But they go on to make the playoffs. They overachieved that year. And that was when it really clicked for Nick and Jalen. And they became a quarterback head coach duo that just like rarely ever loses. So 2021 beating the Lions in Detroit. Now, the next one I have on this list, also in Detroit, also a big win. This is week one of 2022, the beginning of something special. It's the AJ Brown game, 155 yards on 10 catches. Just the vivid memory, the Detroit press box is an open air press box, which means, you know, there's no glass, right? Like I can hear everything that's happening. Whereas normally I can hear with the glass too, but it's more muted. When it's open air, I can really hear everything. And for some reason you can see clear. I don't know why, but just the bomb to AJ down the sideline for that catch. And it was the arrival of AJ. Now, the other important moment in this game that makes it so memorable is late in the game. The Eagles are up 38-35. There's 109 to play. They have the ball on the Lions 40-yard line. It's 4th-and-1. Nick goes for it. And they tush push it essentially in that game. And they win. And it was a tone setter. I mean, looking back on that, to go for it 4th-and-1, your own 40, down 3, you're essentially giving overtime up. You're essentially, at worst, giving overtime here. At best, it's probably overtime. At worst, you lose the game. It was a ballsy call, and it set the tone for the season of going for it consistently on 4th. You know, for all the times we talk about Nick missing, there were a lot of times in his career, and have been a lot of times, where he went for it on 4th, and he made it. So 4th-and-1 to make it 38-35 and seal the game. Big time call from Nick. So they go to 1-0. I don't want to do too many games in a row, but you got to talk about the next one. 24-7, the win over the Vikings. If week one was the AJ game, this is the Hurts arrival game, right? Like the long touchdown to Quez, Jalen folds his arm and just kind of looks. It's prime time. He goes 26-31, 333 yards, a touchdown, an interception, 57 yards rushing with 2 touchdowns, including that run along the sideline where he kind of finds his way in over multiple defenders. Another interesting part about this game I'd forgot, 0 points from anybody after half, which is certainly weird. So, but that's like the prime time. They're 2-0 and you feel really good about Hurts. And he goes on to have like, you know, what would have been an MVP season if he didn't get hurt. Now, the other regular season game, and this is one we truly don't talk about enough, the win over the Packers, where they set the single game franchise record for rushing yards in a game, 40-33 win over the Packers. It moves them to 10-1. It's on Sunday Night Football, actually a fairly close game, but the Eagles kind of had control the whole time. They're up 13-0. They're up 34-20. They're up 37-23, but they never were like pulling away by 3-4 possessions. Hurts 157 rushing yards on 17 attempts. Miles Sanders 143 yards on 21 attempts. Kenny Gainwell 39 yards. Boston Scott 24 yards. They just ran all over him, and that's kind of what they were that year. They were a dominant rushing team, but they did throw it better that year too, I think, than they did in 2024. Now, they weren't up as big, so that's part of it, but definitely, you know, a memorable night in South Philly with that one. So they go to the Super Bowl, don't win it, not going to talk about any of the playoff games, but in 2023, this was a memorable one. In Kansas City, in the rain, the Eagles go to Kansas City and beat the Chiefs. And at the time, if you remember, it was the Super Bowl revenge game, right? They had just lost to the Chiefs the year before in the Super Bowl, and it was billed as their revenge. And neither team played well in that game. It was raining. Funny story, actually. Fans of Philly, shout out fans of Philly. I was at their pregame tailgate. This was right at the beginning of Taylor Swift, recently married Taylor Swift. And my friend Brian was there. He ends up meeting someone at the Fans of Philly tailgate. They end up getting married. So a very cool romantic story. I always remember that game for. But pouring rain, freezing rain, poor Kristen sitting out in the stands for that one. But tons of Eagles fans, as there always are. They beat the Chiefs 21-17, moves to 9-1. And what I always remember, and since this story is public now, I can talk about it. Like, going into that game, I had said that the Chiefs had the better head coach quarterback duo, and that's why I was going to pick them. Well, obviously Nick saw it or heard it, because after the game, I'm in the tunnel, waiting to go into the locker room with all the other reporters. Nick walks from, I guess, what was like the coaching room to the locker room, and he yells, like, better quarterback head coach duo, huh, Elliot? Like, don't let him on the plane. Don't let him on the plane. Like, joking around, kind of. Like, you know, I think there was definitely some, I was wrong, and to say that they had the better quarterback head coach duo. And he ends up joking with me about it. It's all a funny moment, but I'll certainly always remember that game. So, the big play from Jalen to Devontae at the end to help seal it. And it was a really impressive win. Like, to go into Kansas City, it was the beginning of the gauntlet. The gauntlet didn't end up going so well. But and win and beat the Chiefs like that, like, that's a big-time, big-boy win. So to do that, certainly very memorable. And the Chiefs, always a good experience, I will say, in terms of, like, the crowd. The stadium around the stadium, the area around the stadium kind of sucked. But it's a cool atmosphere. So later that year, during the gauntlet, not much later, they get a 37-34 win over the Bills in the rain. And my memory from this is honestly the game that everyone can point to where Jalen doesn't win games by himself. Like, this is a game where he absolutely carried the team. He has 200 passing yards, 65 rushing yards, 5 total touchdowns. He leads them down the field at the end of the game for a game-tying field goal. He leads them in overtime on a 9-play, 75-yard drive to get the, obviously, seal it, run it in. He puts his arms out. He's in the Kelly Green jerseys. On 3rd-and-3, he has a completion to Devontae for 11 yards to keep the drive going. I remember being in the tunnel after that game and saying, Jalen's going to win MVP. Like, they were on their way, right? And boy, was I wrong. Boy, was I wrong. They collapsed from that point. They have some losses that we'll talk about in the worst losses during my time covering the team. But they collapsed. But that game was a big one for Jalen. Going up against Josh Allen, raining, like, losing at times, comeback win. Like, it was one of Jalen's easily most memorable wins, and I'll certainly always getting to remember covering it. Now we're at 2024, and there is just so many you could pick from there. Like, this could be a 27 game list. The Brazil game, the Goddard game versus the Saints, smoking the Giants in New York after Sirianni yells at everyone versus the Browns, which, by the way, the yelling at the fan against the Browns has proven to be one of the most overrated stories, I think, in my time covering the team. Like, just completely blown out of proportion. And then there's the win in Baltimore. So, like, tons of really good ones. But to me, the one I'll remember the most from 2024 was in LA, Saquon running all over the Rams. Saquon has a 70-yard touchdown run, a 72-yard touchdown run. He finishes with 255 yards rushing. The Eagles just smoked the Rams. They're 9-2. They'd won 7 straight at that point. They would go on, I think, to win 10 or 11 straight. And they had turned it around, and they would obviously go on to win the Super Bowl. So when I think about that year, again, tons of great games, but dominating the Rams and running all over them really kind of, you know, really captured who they were. And then, ironically, the only game from 2025 I feel like is a memorable one is the Jordan Davis field goal block game. They're down big in the first half. Jalen's awesome in the second half. AJ's awesome in the second half. I remember they're getting ready to lose the game. I'm walking from my seat to where I record my pod in the press box. And like, I'm all ready to go. Like, we're all kind of in the chat already, you know, and Jordan Davis blocks it. And I remember watching him run from my not normal place in the press box in for the touchdown. So in a year that, look, it was better than 2023. It was better than some of the game years we talked about, 2018, 2019, 2020, 2016. Like, I think, you know, Nick and Jalen have set the bar so high that even a year like that can be a disappointing one. But that was definitely a memorable game that I think we'll always talk about. So fun trip down memory lane. I love memory lane. I love talking about old things, not too old because I don't like old movies or songs, but I love reminiscing. I'm a big reminiscer. So hopefully you enjoyed that. If you're still listening, I appreciate you listening to me kind of ramble on about memorable Eagles games. And this was hopefully a fun listen because I'll tell you what, tomorrow's pod talking about the most memorable losses, not going to be as fun, but tune in because you got to be a real one in the good times and the bad. So that'll do it for today's pod. But as always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Go Bears!
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time, they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.